times when you look at things like Confucius and some of those Eastern philosophers and stuff like that. That there's so much that is happening now that we're talking about. And then so much of the history we have is because it's fantastic enough that
G Money.
Hey. What's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Joe and Doug Show. We're pumped that you're with us. It's Thursday in Youngstown. It's beautiful, 55 degrees today.
I'm going to check to see if our audio is working because, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's on.
It is on. We're good. We're cooking with grease. That's good. Beautiful weather today. And then they're saying that this low front is going to move down out of Canada and we're supposed to get hit here in the Great Lakes region with a pretty decent snowstorm coming up.
Snow, nice.
When is this? They're saying, I think the 5th or 6th of December, so soon.
Okay.
We'll see. You know, weather people.
You know. There might be a little more science to that, but not much.
Yeah, not much. Not much. It's the only job you can be, like, wrong, like, 70% of the time and still have your job.
Zinger!
Yeah.
Get him.
Anyway, Joe, having a good day? Good two days.
I'm feeling a little silly, but I did way too much talking today. And it's one of those things where I was like self-analyzing these last couple shows and things that I've been doing. And man, I was a freaking whiner this last show. We gotta stop that. Let's brag or be excited or something like that.
Well, it's good. Well, I saw you have a new Pay It Forward box that opened up, which I love. Pay It Forward mission. And where is that?
So it's right up the road here on South Avenue. It's at an old fire station. A couple people put together like one of those little libraries where they give books away, and a nice a little version of a Pay It Forward box, and it got beat to hell. And some person in the community called the church and then found me and asked me if I wouldn't mind helping them get one put up. And so be it. We put another one up.
That's cool. And so for those that don't know what Pay It Forward box is, what is it?
So think of like a little utility closet, and we fill it with things like food and toiletries and things that somebody might think they need. Gives people an opportunity to, you know, if you've ever been in a pinch and you wish somebody would have been there on your way, it's a place to put that thing. And, you know, some people put heaters and gloves and hats and whatever. Whatever you think might help somebody.
Non-perishable food.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we have one at the church, and it is a constant all day long. I can look out my window, and there's cars coming in, filling it up, and cars going in, taking what they need. It's really, really cool. So good stuff. Well, the holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, all of it, there's gifts involved, and there's, you know, all kinds of, you know, reasons to be grateful and thankful. And we did an episode where we talked about gratitude. And you and I talk a lot about giving, but I thought it was appropriate seeing your Pay It Forward box.
Yeah.
Coming into Christmas season, my wife and I, this morning we emptied the closet where the gifts are hidden. They're not hidden very well because my kids aren't that smart yet. You know, we just wanted to look at what we had because we buy stuff over the, you know, you don't have to wait till the week before Christmas. So we get stuff fairly early. I mean, we're not buying stuff in August or anything like that, but, you know, we're not waiting until December 24th either. And so we, you know, we pulled some of the stuff out to see what each of the kids had, and, you know, and just sitting there thinking about the joy, you know, a couple of my kids have been asking for new Lego sets and just small things, nothing crazy. Couple of the new Switch games that they're pumped for. Like, I just can't wait. Like, getting that stuff, I remember as a kid, like, man, I couldn't wait to open my presents. But as a parent, I'm like, oh my gosh, grandma's going to go nuts, you know, when he opens this or whatever. And anticipating the joy that comes with giving is part of the fun in giving in general, whether you're giving at church or whether you're giving through Pay It Forward or you're giving through your favorite organization or giving a gift, you know, this holiday season. That joy for me, and this is what makes me a terrible gift giver sometimes, is I will go out and buy the gift and then I'll come home and I'm like, here, Sam, open this. It's going to be amazing. I didn't even wrap it, but it's the thing. You're going to love it because I'm just so eager for that. Maybe it's a little selfish on my part. I want to experience the reaction with her, but or one of the kids or whatever. And like, we bought I said to my mom, I said, the kids need some new footballs. Boys play football all the time. Balls are getting beat up. And I was like, you know, we could get like a peewee size one or whatever. So my mom gave us trash bags full of gifts for the kids. And so we didn't know all what was in there. So this was part of our investigation. Because you don't want one kid to have a mound of presents and the other one to have, well, here's two things. Good luck, you know, Tiny Tim, you know. But you know, realistically, we started looking through, and I said to my mom, I was like, they need a peewee football, you know, a little bit bigger than the, you know, kid footballs, because they're starting to grow into that. And so I told her what size, everything. So she gets that. But then she got four other footballs. So she got a glow in the dark football. She got a water football. She, like typical grandma, like, oh, I need a football. No, you need six footballs. Yes.
One's good. Six is better.
And it's just, I don't know. I love the season. You know, the church got decorated this weekend. And I love just that atmosphere is there for a lot of people. Just everybody's warm and cheery and wanting to go out of their way to do nice things for people. And it's like, this is how it should be all the time. But this season particularly highlights those things. What's your favorite part of Christmas, giving in general? What, for me, I love seeing the reaction, the response. What's Joe's favorite part of giving? And
so I ruined it for myself like a really long time ago. You know, I was always Christmas. We didn't have a lot of money, and Christmas always a little bit of a disappointment when okay. you know, socks and underwear were the
highlight. Yeah. Growing up, I totally get that. Yeah.
And so like we really got into the giving side, and we were doing, I think a lot of the giving that I did in the early time was a lot for the wrong reasons. And I did, sure. I wanted to remove the temptation where I wanted to do it in the blind and deprive myself of the reactions, deprive myself of that kind of stuff and make sure that I would still do it even if I didn't have those things. But then it became so easy. That was like the lubrication that kept the giving going. And so I think I kind of even broke my family a little bit in that respect, because we took a lot of emphasis on the receiving parts and we just go full bore into the giving side. And I sometimes think like, you know, Ryan, you know, I loved having a ton of stuff under the trees, right? That was the you sure. know, whatever. And like, he kind of just knows, and it's a little bit less, and you know, he doesn't have that whole thing. He gets what he wants when he wants it.
Sure.
And we don't wait till the end of the year to give him something that he could have all the time. So
yeah, I'm no, that's killjoy. True. No, it's not wrong. I mean, Sam and I are, you know, it's challenging to buy gifts because I'm like, honey, if you need that, just buy it.
Right.
Like she texted me the other day for some like special like brush that's a hair dryer at the same time or whatever. You know, she was like, can I get this? Like, I'm like, do you want me to wrap it and give it to you for Christmas, or you just want to buy it and start using it now? She's like, can I get it now? I'm like, yeah, go get it now. Like, those things happen all year long. At Christmas, like, hey, if we can wait a couple weeks, you know, we'll stick it under the tree. But you know, we used to do one big gift. You know, we bought ourselves a Mac 1 year, you know, just a, hey, we need this for the house.
Right.
And then as we've had kids, you know, you buy the kids stuff. And I've learned to just kind of listen and, you know, but yeah, there's two or three gifts that, you know, I got my wife that'll be surprises, all stuff that all along she said, oh, you know, it'd be really nice if I had da 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 da. Not something we necessarily need, but something that she's going to go, oh, I've always wanted to have this or that or whatever. I don't want to give it away because she could right. be listening. So, so obviously, Ryan's a little bit older. Charlotte's kind of in that spot where we're like, all right, there's a couple of book series that she likes, but a lot of that stuff's been bought for her already. You know, we're going down the list. Right. We're like, all right, well, she wants some animal stuff. We just did the big zoo thing. We're like, all right, what can we do? You know, that's really, really exciting. So, one of the things we started doing with the birthdays and we've talked about doing, for Christmas is the experience side of things is, you know, how do we, you know, if we're going to do something special that we wouldn't maybe normally do, let's go out of our way and do some sort of cool experience. And so because my kids don't have Facebook, I can say this. And Sam, if you're watching, now is the time to mute. Okay. but my mother-in-law will be in for Christmas this year. And she wanted to get us, and the Globetrotters are coming to Covelli Center. So mom went out of her way and got, you know, Globetrotter tickets. So the kids are gonna be pumped that that'll happen a week after Christmas, but they'll get to open that and we'll get to go have a whole family experience, sweet. Take some pictures. It'd be really cool. Well, my mom and my wife have both been asking me, what do you want? Cause she knows I got her a couple things. And, she's like, I hate this. You always are really good at this and you listen and then you get me something I wasn't anticipating and surprise. And, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I have pretty much, like, if I want it, I go out and buy it or whatever. And I got a text last night. One of the guys at church was like, hey, Jordan Peterson is coming to Akron in the spring. And I'm like, I would love to go to a Jordan Peterson lecture. So I get on, I look at the tickets, $175 gets you like all access pass, VIP, meet and greet, picture, the whole deal. So I take a screenshot of it at midnight last night, send it to my mom and my wife. And this morning she goes, that's what you want? I'm like, 100%, that's what I want. And she's like, you're going to go by yourself? And I'm like, I don't think so. It sounds like this other guy's going to go. And I said, if not, I said, I'll throw it out to a few other people. I said, I'm sure Joe would love to go and some other people. And she's like, but, you know, $175. I'm like, I get an autograph. It sounds like you get an autograph book. You get a meet and greet and a picture. And I'm like, that'd be sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I enjoy a lot of his books and lectures and stuff like that. So it'd be cool to see him in person. So of course they have the caveat, you know, unless COVID restrictions and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, whatever.
You just got taken us offline. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Doug. Oh
yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, YouTube.
You said the C word.
I did. We got to come up with like a code for it or something. We do. So, but yeah, so I think that, I hope that it sounds like that's going to come to pass. I think as you get older, like the gift giving side of things is more fun because, you know, you just go out and get yourself what you want. Right. Like, hey,
But I think there should be like one mysterious surprise that you didn't put hints out.
And
you
get to
open it like, whoa, you know me so well. And, you know, we're usually traveling during, you know, Christmas. And so that we're in a motorhome. And so we get a small tree and a small version of, you know, everything. But Deb really likes providing that Christmas experience for Ryan, no matter where we're at. It's fun for him, you know?
Yeah. So do you guys bring stuff or buy stuff on the way?
Bring stuff.
Yeah. That's what I figure. I know for Sam and I, we do, Christmas morning is a big deal. The kids come down. How was your experience growing up and how have you done with Ryan? So my family was nice and orderly. Like my mom sat under the tree because there was only like five things. And she'd be like, you're going to open this and we're all going to watch. And then your brother's going to open this and we're all going to watch. And there was more than five things, but we weren't, you know, bursting at the seams. My parents did the best they could with what they had. But they would, you watched each person open a gift. And there were times my mom knew what everything was. So she'd be like, you all have to open this at the same time. And it was like, oh, we got the same t-shirt, you know, whatever. And Sam's family was not that way. They had four kids and they had matching wrapping paper. So you had whatever wrapping paper I think was in your stocking or whatever. And so you opened your stocking. As soon as you saw your wrapping paper, it was like ding, ding, ding.
Go, go, go.
Buck wild. The paper's flying everywhere. I've seen the videos. You know, they had the video camera set up that was, you know, this big, like a, and they just went buck wild. I cannot handle the stress of that. And so we have done the orderly thing, but I said to Sam, as the kids get a little older, I'm willing to alternate years. So this year is not my year, Joe. This year, we're just going to turn the kids loose, and I'm already having heart palpitations about
it. Can I pray for you for once?
Seriously.
Yes.
Oh, we were talking about it 2 days ago, and she was like, you know, this year, the kids get to just open their gifts, and you just have to deal with it. And I'm like, oh. Everything in me is like, but I'm not going to see everything. And I'm there for the expression. The reason I give the gifts is for me, not for them. I want to watch them be like pumped. And I know it's going to be fine. That's going to be fun. But it's just, you know, blending those traditions when you start having a family and, you know, you're raised a little differently. It's different. What was your best gift you ever got growing up, childhood wise?
Oh, it's got to be some electronics. Either the electronics football game, like it was probably way younger than you, but it was ColecoVision electronic
football. Yeah. I had one in the basement, but I remember getting the original Nintendo Entertainment System. It was for my sixth birthday, 1991, and so it was a couple years old. But my friends had it, and I'd asked for it. I remember it was the only thing it was the thing that was on my mind. My birthday's in February. I didn't get it for Christmas. I was asking. Comes to my birthday party, and I remember guessing almost everything that I got. I particularly remember getting a Nerf football and a couple of these things, and I was guessing each gift, and I got everything. And the last one, my mom brings out, oh, here's a box from, you know, Pop-Up. And I'm going, looking at it, thinking, it's probably some clothes or whatever. And I guessed all the other ones. And she's like, you can't guess what this one is. And I was like, nope. And I opened it. It was Nintendo.
Boom.
Lights out. Oh, it was awesome. You know, Super Mario Brothers or Mario Brothers.
It's Mario.
Yeah. That's what everybody corrects
me. It's me. You're Mario.
My wife has an Uncle Mario. And that's what she calls him, not Mario. So,
okay.
But
not everybody could be right.
Probably a Jersey thing. Yeah. we're a little off a little bit. So, but yeah, I remember getting that and you know, playing and you know, my parents were like, "You sit any closer to that TV," my dad would be like, you're gonna go blind," or you know, all that stuff that we'd hear growing up. And I remember he had a rule about you could only play video games to a certain hour in the evening. And I don't know if it was once or twice I had been told to go like brush my teeth and get ready for bed. And I had snuck back down and was playing. And he was like, "I swear to God, Douglas, if I see you on that thing, I'm going to take a baseball bat to it and smash it. I don't care how much money it was," you know, just went off because I was supposed to be in bed. And I'll never forget this one night. My brothers and I are all in bed like we're supposed to be. And my dad hears the game on. "Douglas, if you're on that thing," he comes storming down the steps. My mom's playing Duck Hunt. I was like, "It wasn't me. Don't break my game." But yeah, that for me was like a significant gift. I remember getting that because it was something I wanted, didn't get it at Christmas. And then Pop-Up came through at birthday time. But yeah, I think growing up, it was mostly electronics that I got pretty pumped about. I mean, as you get older, you know, I like getting like the gift cards and shopping for my own stuff or whatever. But there's one time I got so we would go to my grandmom's house, and I'm the oldest of like 20 something grandkids, and we would do a Pollyanna, and it was tough because, you know, my mom had three, and then my aunt had four, another aunt had three, another aunt had two. And, you know, you start getting in there and people are forking out some dough to buy the kids gifts. So instead of having to buy every kid a gift, the families would all swap in the Pollyanna. One family would buy the other family gifts. And then grandpa every year would sit down and he would say, "Hey, you know, had a good year. The Lord's been good to us." And he would give every family and then every grandkid money. An envelope is really, he would always give like a kind of a somber, like serious speech, like proud of, you know, the year we had, and you know, God's been good to us. And so here's a few $100 or whatever. And I don't know how much the adults got. I know as a kid, it was like, I got $100 from grandpa or whatever. It was nice. Kind of cool. And to do that for 24 grandkids or whatever, and then, you know, eight of your own kids plus their spouses, you know, a little chunk of change. Yeah. So, but, my uncle Chris had me, and he was always like the prankster growing up. So we went for a barbecue one summer, and I'm outside with all my uncles. Now, my mom's the oldest of eight. So her youngest brother, my uncle Dave, was only 10 years older than me. So he's born in 75. I was born in 85. So there was some closer than normal with your uncle, so to speak. So we're all sitting outside, and I got mashed potatoes and I got all this stuff. And my uncle Chris goes, "Doug, those mashed potatoes smell funny." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "They smell funny." So I put my head down to smell them and smash my face in the mashed potato, screaming, crying. My mom doesn't even have to guess it. Christopher, she knew immediately who had done it. So anyway, so I get my uncle Chris for Christmas. He's got the Pollyanna, and I know there's going to be some sort of like ha-ha attached to it. So there's two presents. He hands me the one first, and he buys me like this like XXX whitey tighty underwear that I open in front of the whole family, and I'm like, "Aha." And he's like, "Oh, I thought you could use those." And then he got me a football jersey. It was pretty cool that I opened up. And you know, there was always a limit. Now as adults, you know, most of the family, I think they do. I haven't been involved because we've, you know, moved, obviously. But most of the family does an adult, you know, white elephant gift, but kind of cool. It's like a date night out. So it's like a $50 or $100. And so there's like gift cards to a restaurant, or they'll do themed baskets with booze and popcorn and stuff like that. And so, and then people steal from each other and they turn into a game because everybody's pretty much adults at this point. There's a handful of kids, but everybody's kind of grown up. What were some of those sort of traditions for you growing up going into the Christmas season?
Well, I was just having a conversation about this earlier that, you know, my grandparents were sort of the linchpin that brought everybody in town. And I got to see all of my cousins and all the extended family because they all came in for all the holidays.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we had those gift exchanges when they were around. And, you know, your cousins were sort of like your first best friends,
yeah.
You know, and these days, like, they don't do that. Family doesn't come in. We don't get to know our cousins. Like, I know Ryan really barely knows his similar age cousins. And I think that's a little bit of a, you know, a shafting that they get. But I'd really like to reintroduce more family meetup types of things.
Well, it's just because everybody's so spread out for you guys. Yeah. same thing for us. And, you know, you try and do it as much as possible, but, you know, everybody's got lives and you're in the midst of this, and thank God for FaceTime and those sort of things, but it's not the same.
It's not. Because there, it forced you to spend an entire day with people, and the disagreements and the conversations were my favorite part. It really was.
Absolutely.
When we get my dad and my uncle in the same room and talk politics, that was like the best.
It was my dad and my grandfather on my mom's side, my father-in-law. He was conservative in some of his social aspects, but he was a Clinton Democrat, and my dad was like Rush Limbaugh. So the two of them would get in there and fireworks. You know, it was wild. So, but you know, it was interesting. You know, you talk about that. You know, I remember my dad telling me, so when he grew up, my grandfather was born in Camden. My grandmother's family all lived basically on the same street up until my dad was in eighth grade. Then they moved out to the suburbs as the suburbs started to become a thing in the, you know, in the 50s and 60s. But he was like, you know, church, like we went to church at, you know, the Catholic church down the road. And then we had lunch at, you know, aunt so-and-so's house or grandma's house or whatever. Everybody's right next to each other. And right. We were bouncing in and out of houses and you know, every Sunday. And so there was no like, hey, special for Christmas. Like you were always together.
Right.
And, you know, actually I saw a video recently. We've talked about the blue zones, the people that live to over 100, those centenarians. One of the key things that they find about all of these is the connection to the elderly. So a lot of them have grandparents or great grandparents that live in the home with their families, and that for, they don't know why, but that just is one of those statistics that is unusual. Cause a lot of times, particularly in America, you know, you don't have that. And, but that's one of those things that for whatever reason is a trend in cultures of people that live to over 100, is they have their grandparents right there with them. And so it goes back.
I think when you get older, you're able to steal the life out of somebody else, like, out of you, and they get a little extra time.
Yeah. They steal it from you. You know, it's interesting. You know, we're going to go down the shore for a week with my grandfather, and we just were all together, my brothers and I and their kids. And it was a ton of fun, but I was like, it's going to be a week vacation where we're going to go to the beach and we're all going to sleep really well at night. Cause our kids were like, they played hard for the one day they were together.
Sure.
And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, like, Pop can sleep anywhere. I mean, he's like a cat. He just out. And, but I'm sitting there thinking, like, is he going to be able to sleep in the house with eight kids running around and everything else? We'll find out.
Are you at the napping during football stage of your elderly aged years?
I mean, I like to nap. My wife doesn't let me nap.
Okay.
Cause I snore. So she's like, if you're going to sleep, go up to the bedroom. And I'm like, that's so rude. There's other people here. She goes, no, what's rude is you're snoring in front of everybody that's here. So usually, I might get away with 10 or 15 minutes, but as soon as she hears me, she comes in, she goes, time to wake up. You're annoying. How
do you
know everybody. That
everybody's just not lying and you don't really snore? You don't know if you do.
I don't.
You got to trust the fact that.
Well, I had never slept with anybody till I got married. I had roommates at college, but nobody really complained about it too much.
Set a recording device that's voice activated, and that way if you talk in your sleep or start.
Oh, I talk in my sleep. Sure. I've had full conversations. I learned this from my roommates at college. I had a couple of conversations with my roommates at college where I was dead asleep, no recollection of the conversation. We had full conversations. Like, Doug, do you know where you are? I'm like, we're in the gym. I'm like, no, you're in your bed. Yeah, but it's in the gym. like full conversation that they recalled to me later that I had no recollection of. And my brother Don sleepwalks.
Wow.
You know, so there are times where we, as kids, he would get up and we would talk to him and it was like zombie. Like, you know, he was kind of like, he was there, but you could tell he wasn't there. And he would go downstairs, get something to drink and then walk back upstairs and then like pee in the trash can in the bathroom. Like not, or we'd find him asleep on the floor downstairs the next morning. He was like, I don't know how I got here. Like total. So when we would go on youth trips for youth and stuff, we would go to Creation Festival. It's like a big outdoor Christian music festival, 100,000 people, kind of wild. And we would take 30 or 40 students, adults, parents, etc. And you camp outside. Nobody showers for the week. It's gross. But you have a blast and you're sleeping out in your camp chair under the stars and stuff like that. We eventually built out of PVC pipe and tarps, like portable showers and stuff. And you'd bring the little shower bag and shower yourself or whatever. But because we slept out around the fire most nights, as long as it wasn't raining, we had tents set up that we could go in, but it was June, so it's hot. And so we would sleep outside in our camp chairs, and our youth pastor would assign someone to my brother because he was worried he was going to get up and like just walk off and go wake up at another campsite. So he assigns my good friend and eventually my college roommate Rob to watch him. We're seniors, I think, this year, juniors, and he goes, listen, you're on Don duty tonight, you know, you got to keep an eye on him. And so it's winding down. Pastor Jason had said to Don, he goes, listen, he goes, when Rob's not paying attention, he goes, I want you to pretend like you're falling asleep. And when he's not paying attention, I want you to get up, walk, stumble over to the next campsite, and then just take off. And sure enough, he had Rob looking for him for like a half an hour. He had circled back, came back to the campsite, and he's like, that is not even funny. And we're like, should have been paying attention. So,
right.
I don't know how we got on sleepwalking from gift giving at Christmas.
This is what this show's about.
We're just talking about whatever. This is Joe and Doug's couch, is what this is.
And we're not complaining about anything.
No, so, we're telling good stories. Did you live at home through college or did you live on campus?
No college. I think we, I was with my dad when I went to for like one semester of college, and then I started a business. So I lived with him for maybe 2 years after that, and then that was it.
Nice. So no roommates or any of that stuff.
Thank God. Thank God.
It may be a different Joe if you had some roommates.
I know, really.
Joe, I know we're the antithesis of one another, or whatever that word is, the opposites.
Yes.
When I was in college, first of all, I had to have a roommate because I wouldn't have survived. And second of all, I would come back to the dorm sometimes and have to do schoolwork, and there'd be nobody in my room. And I'd be like, I have to go find somebody to be around in order to do my work. And so I would walk around. I would go to the common areas and I'd find somebody and just sit down near them so that I could do my work.
Whoa. That would freak me out of something.
I was literally like, I gotta, or I go to the library. Like, I just needed to be in social proximity. If my roommate was in the room, that was fine. My roommate, he would go like on video game binges. It was like right when Halo came out, the original Halo, and we would like link systems from room to room. We'd all play. He bought, I don't know if it was Halo 2 or whatever, the new game came out. He got it the day it came out, and he literally was like, I'm skipping class for the week. Don't bother me. He goes, I'm playing this till I beat it. And like for 3 days, I would come in and out to class, and he literally posted up on our couch in the same pair of sweatpants. I would literally walk in and be like, have you eaten today? Like, you know, have you showered? And but as soon as he beat it, he didn't play it again. Like, he's like, I just knew I had to go all in and do it. And that was kind of his personality. But I remember coming and be like, have you eaten? Like, do you need something? But you know, I loved college. Being around people like that all the time. Oh,
yeah,
absolutely. You know, anytime there was like, hey, we're all gonna, let's go.
I went to the college of by myself. Graduated cum laude.
Cum laude. You were the valedictorian.
Yes.
And the salutatorian.
Top
and 1%. Oh, that's hilarious. So no college for you. Was that intentional? You said you went a semester, or you just hate it?
Well, I started going for psychology. I wanted to help people that, you know, I was, you know, my upbringing, I felt like I got beat up and bruised. And after I got through it, I wanted to help somebody else out. And I started paying for college with my computer business, and the computer business decided to say, I'm more important than, you know, your psychology degree. And it came priority. So
that's so interesting. My dad went to school for psychology, and he went, I think, about 3 years, but his senior year, he started in the real estate business, and it, the '80s real estate boom, the late '70s took off.
Oh yeah.
And I remember as a kid, because I've seen pictures, not because I remember, but he had a red sports car that he got for being loan officer of the month or whatever, was able to afford. And he had a bag phone, like the old school cell phone, like in the bag. And I remember getting his pagers and stuff back in the day when he would get a new pager and get to play with those as a kid. But yeah, it was like, so he never finished and then went to did his real estate license and that sort of stuff. And went that direction. Same sort of thing though.
My first phone had 30 minutes of talk time for $59.99.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, 30 minutes. You had to conserve that shit. Dad, how you doing? I'm good about it. Bye-bye.
Sweet. Wow. No, that's so funny. So we didn't have cell phones in high school. They were just coming out, like my junior year, like the ones, the Nokia with Snake on it. or whatever, the smaller ones that you were able to get, the family plans were just starting, like the, all that stuff was fresh, like my junior, senior year. And I can remember trying to get picked up from sports practice or dances or whatever. And they had like two or three pay phones on campus. Yes. And dialing 1-800-COLLECT and be like, Mom, I'm done. Come pick me up. You want to accept a call from Mom? I'm done. Come pick me up. No, I do not.
You're working the system.
Yeah. And yeah, we did that a bunch. And I used to get rides home with my friends all the time. My parents didn't know where I was. And Sam and I have this conversation all the time because our kids, it's just a different world. And we're like, just go ahead. If you want to go outside, just go outside. They're like, yeah, but we should tell you where we are. I'm like, you can if you want. Like, but when I was a kid, like I just went outside. Like, you know, don't go down the street. You know, let us know if you're going to a neighbor's house or something right. like that. But if you guys want to go run out on the trampoline, go run out on the trampoline. You know, you don't need my permission to do that. I mean, I can remember my parents had no idea where I was.
Yeah, for we disappeared for
hours
like
at a time.
Hours
yeah.
and no search parties.
No. Like,
did they care? Did they want us to not come back? Is that the deal?
Well, so I would get rides home with, you know, various people. And my parents, they had taught us well enough. Like I had good judgment. I wasn't going to get in the car with somebody I didn't know. Like
I, mean, I had terrible judgment. And I still had the same experience. Well,
and you survived. But so this one time my mom was like, I'm going to come pick you up at this time. And I was like, okay. I got done early. So my buddies were like, hey, we'll just take you home real quick. So I jumped in the car. Well, mom was here. We went, mom was not happy that she scooted out of wherever she was to come get me. And I wasn't there and there was no cell phone to call me. So she's waiting around looking in the gym, looking in the various places. And I'm not there for 45 minutes. Then she decides I'm going to go home and I'm home. Like, where you been? So I got a tongue lashing and told, you do not leave. You get on the payphone and call me next time. Let me know. Da, da, da. I got chewed out. And, you know, I will come pick you up when I say I'm going to come pick you up. Don't you dare leave. So fast forward like 3 weeks, there's like, it was freshman year. There was a dance and I'm like, man, my buddies are going to go. We're going to go to the dances at the high school cafeteria, show up, go to the dance. It's over like, I was like from 7 to 10:30 or 11, something like that. Friends are getting picked up. You need a ride? No, I'm good. Mom's coming. You need a ride? No, I'm good. Mom's coming. My teachers, the chaperones are leaving. You sure? My mom said she's coming. I'm not leaving. Custodian and I, only two left. Your mom coming? She said she's coming. He's like, well, do you want to make a phone call? And so I go in. I use the payphone. Nobody picks up on him. She's got to be on her way. Nobody picked up. Nothing. I said, you know what? I'm not that far. I'll walk. I was like 3 miles from the high school. I walked across a major 6-lane highway up over this thing. I walk through the door. My mom is knocked out asleep on the couch. And I'm like, I thought you were coming to get me. Oh my gosh. She felt horrible because she had just chewed me out 3 weeks earlier. So I was like, yeah, I just walked 3 miles home. It was after midnight at this point. She was dead to the world asleep on that sofa when I came in. She hates that I tell that story. I'm like, hey, you should have picked me up. And then I wouldn't have a story right. to tell.
Now, is that previous story? Was that like one of the four times that you got in trouble in your entire kid existence?
Oh, I got in trouble for... My parents were different though. Like I've told, you know, some of the stories from the platform at church, but I remember I got into a big, like a Green Day face when they first came out with like Dookie and stuff. But for me, that's like elementary school going into middle school. So I was young for that kind of music, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. I didn't know what some of the words meant. And I remember putting that cassette on. I was like, oh, I just got the, you know, the Dookie album. It's like 1994. I'm 10. And I'm like, oh, let me put this in. And Longview comes on or Burning Out or whatever. I have no idea what it's about. My mom, here's the first thing. She yanked the thing out, threw it out the car window. What is this garbage you're listening to? And I was like, all my friends, we listened to it on the bus. I didn't know what it meant. And I wanted to for like 30 seconds be in a band. And so I got a bass guitar from somewhere. And a couple of my buddies had a band. I think I was like, I don't know, maybe 12 or 13. And so I started writing songs and I just mimicked some of the songs that I heard on the radio, some of the popular stuff. And my mom found said songs with cuss words and all sorts of stuff in them. And, you know, she sat down with me. She didn't scream at me. She was like, do you understand what this is? She was asking me to explain. So like, what do you know? What do you not know? And do you understand why we don't do some of these things. I'm like, I do. I didn't think you'd read this, you know, like, and we sat by the fireplace, we lit it on fire, and she prayed for me, and that was it. I didn't do it again.
All right.
The first time I in high school, I ever, you know, touched alcohol was freshman year of high school. Buddies of mine, we got, you know, I don't know, 45 skunked old Coors Light from some upperclassmen that we paid way too much money for. And we went over on Friday night. We're all going to sleep at my buddy's house. And he had a big cemetery in his backyard. So we stashed stuff out there. And we all drank too much and threw up and everything else. And I don't remember much of the night, but I remember coming home, sat on the couch, told my mom, I said, this is what I did. I said, I feel horrible. You know, she talked me through her first time and what it did. She goes, you ever going to do that again? I said, no. She prayed for me, forgave me. I never did again. She didn't call. She could have probably called my parents, my friend's parents and stuff like that. And that wouldn't have been, I would have totally blown up my spot with my friends. And she didn't do that either. You know, she knew they had to have a journey. And so I don't even know if she ever told my dad that, to be honest with you.
Wow.
Now they were the small things they would flip out about. The small things were a big deal. They wanted the small things done well, but the big things, they gave me the space to mess up, fess up, get up, and figure it out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Love it.
So we got from giving
to your drunken binges.
My only one.
Yeah.
And
you just summarized all of your chewing outs in like 32 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I were to summarize mine, we need a whole show dedicated to Friday.
I'm sure if I talked about like setting the table, you know, I'm sure my dad's say,
if you start off with setting the table as one.
Oh, my dad would flip out.
Like, I'm just going to roll my eyes at you. Okay. Cause it's not even in the same ballpark.
I got one. Yeah. How many did you get, like detentions or Saturday schools or anything?
All the time. I was late for everything, and I was a class clown, so yeah. I was center of attention, always talking. So yeah, I was in trouble.
I got one lunch detention in my whole scholastic career. I didn't realize a teacher was behind me and somebody was messing with something and we were having fun and I cussed and the teacher was like, Mr. Reed, totally out of character for me, and just kind of gave me one of those and wrote me a little slip and said, I'll see you tomorrow at lunch. And I'd eat my lunch in her classroom. She was my math teacher. But, you know, for the most part, there were times where I probably could have, but I had such a good reputation. A lot of times they'd be like, it's probably the other kid's fault. I'm serious. I had a young lady that I passed notes with. You might call her a girlfriend. We sat at lunch together. That was it. Like, it was sixth grade, you know, we play at recess together. And I was throwing this tennis ball against the wall with her. And this kid who was always in trouble, Joe, threw the tennis ball up on the roof and was like, ha ha ha, laughed in my face. And I punched him. Like, I just reacted. And the lunch aide is standing right there. And he's like, oh, you know, he knows. He's like, I've been suspended for that before. You're getting in trouble. And the lunch aide goes, I didn't see anything. And I was like, my reputation preceded me. I was able to, it was, you know, she knew I was never going to do that again. It was so out of character. But, you know, I look back at those sort of funny things and, you know, it's amazing, you know, the memories you have and stuff like that. What's the first thing that you got in trouble for that you remember? Like, I got in trouble in school.
In school? Cause there's a better one than that. This is a bigger one.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we had some neighbors that were, you know, we were all kind of like a little shady. We were always going to in trouble. And the one was, I was super young. I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And one of the neighbors like grabbed his dad's 9mm and we were playing with it.
We didn't have guns in New Jersey. So that wasn't an option.
And so like, we didn't know what to do with it after we had it. So they hid it in my boot, my snow boot, right? And my mom found my snow boot and I had a 9mm in it. Like, today's standards, it would have been a total escalation, right? But I got in so much trouble for having a 9mm stuffed in my boot.
Loaded.
It was loaded. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then second thing, there was a lady that would always like burn refuse in the backyards, and she built this nice.
Can't do pump. That in New Jersey either, now, by the way. It's communist.
And we had a good idea that we were going to light this burn pile on fire, and we lit the entire row of trees on fire. So we had these huge trees fall down across all of the, we lit the whole thing on fire. Fire trucks had to come down. That was a big one.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. And then the last one was, I had a group of friends, and this was stupid to the, you know, to the extremes, but I convinced everybody that these tulip bulbs were onions, and it was a good idea that we just eat onions. And so I had all the neighborhood kids eating these tulip bulbs, and they're very toxic.
People getting sick. Yeah.
And so I went and we got discovered, and we had to drink the syrup of Epicac. So we had all of the neighbor kids around puking. The bushes, just puking nonstop for like hours. So yeah, there you go. There's my top three.
My first one that I really remember getting in trouble for was in fourth grade. We just went to Charlotte's winter concert, and this was our winter concert. I was in the chime choir, whatever, you know, play the little ding ding or whatever. And but I had gotten a large bottle of Brut cologne because we had to get dressed up in a tie and everything. And I'm like, you have to have cologne. So my parents took me, I got the bottle of cologne. Well, what they didn't know is that I brought it with me to school, and I passed it around to everyone. Mm. And some of my friends decided it was a good idea to pour it on their heads and on people's heads. So we used an entire bottle of Brut cologne, and people were gagging.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to contrast this with arson, firearms, poisoning to Brut cologne. Just so everybody knows that.
That's probably one of the worst. I didn't get to do the chimes choir thing. I had to sit out. I still got to sing the thing, but standing up on the stage, nobody could sing because they couldn't breathe. And yeah, no, I never did. I set my bedroom trash can on fire once because I bought, we had a local carnival, and I bought the incense because I thought it was cool and it would make my room smell cool or whatever. My dad's like, you smoking weed? I was like, no, I just bought incense. Like, never seen weed. Like, you know, so I bought these little, like, I don't know, triangles of incense, and I burnt them, and I dumped the ash in my trash can. I wasn't thinking, oh, I had a bunch of paper in there. And the next thing I know, my metal basketball trash can is like on fire. My mom's running through the house, chucks it in the bathtub and turns the water on. My dad's like, why does it smell like smoke in here? When he got home, I'm like, no reason, you know.
Your mom protected you a couple times.
Me and my brother. I mean, my brothers and I did goofy stuff, but it was always like we were playing sports and somebody smashed our face into something, or we were sitting around telling some of those stories with our wives while they were here, and you know, we beat the crap out of each other. I mean, did you ever play like King of the Hill or King of the Ring? Oh, any yeah. of that stuff? Yeah, I mean, we torched each other in some of those things.
So that's how you grew up. You got stronger because you would. You know, do that.
It's amazing we didn't have more broken bones, stuff like that. Like, I look back, like, I think we've said this on previous shows, if like Facebook or MySpace existed, like, neither of you or I would have a job right now.
Right.
Well, you probably more than me, but mine would just be me with a bottle of Brut cologne.
But then I tell on myself in public. I mean, what am I doing
now? Yeah, but now it gives an authenticity. By telling your own stories, it disarms the gun.
That's true.
Takes the bullets out. Unless you put it in your snow boot.
It's awesome. That gun's worth some money now. I wish I'd hung on to it.
That's awesome. Well, this was a fun episode talking about giving, Christmas traditions.
Summary. All the way from giving to spending time with family to how we screwed up and how we got in trouble with things. I don't know how it all came together, but somehow that was the package
deal. And the crazy thing is, you and I are married and we have kids. God has entrusted us with another generation. Oh, this was fun.
Good show, man.
Yeah, well, we'll see you guys next week.
100%. Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.